outside the Polaroid Corporation on Memorial Drive. Cars whiz by without most drivers aware of the historical significance this institution is accused of playing in the prolongation of the apartheid state. You have to go back a few years to know why. Let's say as far back as the end of World War II. South Africa's National Party, led by doctrinaire segregationists, codified legislation known as pass laws, which restricted where the black population could live, work, or move. And any white person could ask a black person for their passbook, and that person was required to show it. In March 1961, a peaceful mass protest against the pass laws resulted in the massacre of over 60 people at Sharpeville in South Africa. But let's jump ahead 10 years to 1970, to this spot on Memorial Drive, Polaroid. Two African-American employees here discovered that Polaroid was making the photographic products for processing the dreaded passbooks.
I worked at Polaroid as a research chemist, and my late husband, Ken Williams, was in the photo department producing advertisements for Polaroid. And one day I went to pick him up for lunch, and we discovered an ID badge with a mock-up of a black guy that we knew from Polaroid saying, Union of South Africa Department of the Mines. We discovered that Polaroid was in South Africa, and they had been there for quite some time, since 1938, and that they were actually the producers of the notorious passbook photographs, which South Africans, black South Africans, called their handcuffs.
Carolyn Hunter and the man who became her husband, Ken Williams, protested the sales, and in 1971 testified before Congress, calling for a complete halt to Polaroid's policy.
Ken and I launched a campaign to find out what was going on, and eventually held a press conference and called for an international boycott for Polaroid to get out of South Africa, for Polaroid to turn their profits over to liberation movements and to recognize the liberation movements in South Africa. With the help of another South African, Chris Entetta, who's now deceased, we organized the first international boycott by black workers, by black people, by anybody in the world against South Africa. And that eventually led to the divestment movement that really weakened the South African government and allowed the blacks in South Africa to have a better chance at negotiating their freedom.
The congressional hearings into the role of American corporations in aiding the South African government became the basis for the divestiture movement.
And we were very aggressive in trying to get people to support the boycott. So Ken and a delegation of brothers went down to D.C. to see Congressman Dellums. He received them with open arms. He received the literature and information. And he took that cause on to the Congress to publish and put forth this legislation for 17 years, or 18 years, until they finally got both Republicans and Democrats to pass the sanctions bill that prohibited U.S. from doing business in South Africa.
After she was fired from Polaroid, Hunter went on to become a teacher and assistant principal at Cambridge Ridge in Latin. And last year, she was honored with the Rosa Parks Award by the National Education Association for leading the effort that led to sanctions against apartheid South Africa.
Risk-taking is probably the most defining act of an ethical life. Rosa Parks put her immediate self-interest at risk for what she believed was right. So, too, did this year's recipient of the Rosa Parks Memorial Award. Ladies and gentlemen, Carolyn Hunter.
Carolyn Hunter, whose life has been the subject of documentaries and books, is now writing her own story about the effort to hold a business accountable in the face of human rights violations. Philip Martin, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.